system in cooperation with the United States Army and the United States Air Force Recruiting Service brings you the new Mr. Ace and Jane program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Tonight, Chapter 10, entitled, Jane Gets on a Quiz Program, and she answers so many questions and is winning so much money, until Mr. Ace discovers how she's doing it and puts out the fires of this atomic bombshell of the quiz program. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
how to stop radioactivity. Oh, brother, wait till you hear what she did this time. I'll tell you about it in just a moment.
Before we join the Aces, I'd like to tell you about a job that rates ace high with men all over America. It's a job that makes a good man an even better man. It's a job that offers the chance for advancement, security, good pay, intellectual challenge, and the highest type of comradeship. Sounds ideal, doesn't it? Well, thousands of young Americans will agree that an Army or an Air Force job is just that. You yourself, if you're a young man with big ideas for the future, will find that today's Army or Air Force offers more opportunities than ever before. Go to your nearest recruiting office, and chances are you'll discover that an Army or an Air Force job is just the job for you. And now, Mr. Ace, what was that about Jane on a quiz program?
Well, first I'd like to tell you a story about a nice little family of three living happily in Decatur, Illinois. A sweet little lady, her husband, and their pretty 18-year-old daughter. Life was good. Father had a comfortable job at the railroad office. The daughter was going with a nice young fellow at the bank. And the sweet little lady made their modest bungalow a haven of contentment. Then one day the phone rang, and the sweet little lady answered a question on a quiz program. She won $3,500 in cash, a trip halfway around the world, 12 rumba lessons, and a deluxe model Piper Cub airplane. The daughter took the 12 rumba lessons, got mixed up with a South American dance instructor, and when last heard of, was dancing in a low-type waterfront saloon in Buenos Aires. The father took the trip halfway around the world and is now stuck in Cairo, Egypt. And the sweet little lady left alone with her deluxe model Piper Cub airplane tried to back it into her garage. Hospital bills and building repairs ate up to $3,500. And she is now working in her sister's beauty shop in Salt Lake City, Utah, and doing very well. But how many people can be that lucky? Please keep this story in mind when I tell you what happened to me last week when Jane decided to get on a quiz program. And she had to pick the one quiz program which the advertising agency I work for puts on the air. It all began the other morning when our next-door neighbor, Ken Roberts, dropped in to see Jane. He's the radio announcer. You hear him doing commercials like,
this program is brought to you by Cramstan, the famous after-dinner motor oil.
Ken was there, so was Jane's brother, Paul, who hasn't worked in 15 years because Jane and I are such a soft touch.
The easy aces.
And Jane, of course, you know, you've got to take everything she says with a grain of salt.
You've got to take everything I say with a grain of aspirin.
These are the three happy characters, and here is the mad scene that started the whole thing off.
Well, Jane, I've got to run.
You are, Ken?
Yeah. I only dropped in to tell you to thank Mr. Ace for getting you the job of announcer on his quiz program, The Sky's the Limit. I got to get down to the studio now, and,
What are you looking for, Ken?
Well, I had a script here with all the questions and answers for this quiz program on it. I thought I'd put it on the... Say, did you see it, Paul?
Mm-hmm. What's that, Ken?
A script with this whole week's supply of questions and answers.
No.
Well, never mind. I'll get a duplicate copy at the studio. See you later, Jane.
You're welcome, Ken.
Tell Mr. Ace thanks for the job.
See you later, Ken. I wonder what he lost. Did you see anything, Paul?
You mean this radio script, Jane?
Paul, you were sitting on it. I'll call him back.
Sam, come back here. Don't you realize we have a fortune here in my hands?
Hey, Sam, you were sitting on it.
Sure. I got a quick look, and when I saw what it was, I played smart and sat on it. Look, All we have to do is memorize these answers. Go down to the studio, and if they call on either one of us, we're a cinch to win a barrel of money.
Paul, I'm not going to have any barrels cluttering up this house.
These are the questions and answers. If they call on me, I'll know the answers. If they call on you, you'll know them. And, oh, yes, they might have some ridiculous rules about relatives of advertising agencies not being allowed on the program. So you better use your maiden name, Jane Sherwood.
But, Paul, I don't know the answers to any of those questions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Jane. We've got the answers right here. Now, look at this first question. Who invented the cotton gin? Eli Whitney. Second question. Who sailed around the world in 1519? Magellan. Magellan? Cotton gin. This is opportunity knocking.
Opportunity is knocking with gin? Oh, that's silly, Paul.
And so, unbeknownst to me, as they might say from Monday through Friday on Our Gal Sunday, unbeknownst to me, Jane and Paul went down to the studio to get on our quiz program. Although the agency I work for produces it, I don't listen to that program. But later, I was told it went something like this.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ken Roberts introducing your favorite quiz program, The Sky's the Limit. As you already know, the questions on this program are sent in by you, the listeners. This is a program in which the contestant can stay on day after day until he has won all the money he wants. But should he miss a question, he loses all the money he's won from the start. You can stop when you like, but remember, the sky is the limit. And now a brief message from my sponsor. Dear Mr. Roberts, you've been reading the commercials too fast and too loud. Uh-oh, wrong message. I left the other one someplace. Well, we'll have the message from the sponsor later. But now we introduce our genial master of quiz, Robert Quiz Lewis.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You all know this is the quiz program that begins where other quiz programs leave off. So here's our first contestant, ready to try for the first question for $64. Your name, sir?
Michael Abbott.
Yay. Step a little closer, please. Where are you from, Michael?
Nome, Alaska.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, plenty of people here from Nome, Alaska today. Michael, here's your first question. First question, who invented the cotton gin?
Cotton gin?
Yeah, that's right.
Gordon?
Goodness. No, no. Michael, I'm sorry, not going wrong, Jen. Well, good. Michael, you don't go away empty-handed, no, sir. Here with the compliments of our sponsor is a cigarette. Well, here we go now with our next contestant today. Well, who have we here?
Just fine.
What is your name, my dear?
Jane,
Yes?
Jane Sherwood.
Uh-huh. And where are you from, Jane Sherwood?
New York City.
Not many folks here from New York City.
That's my brother.
What?
That's my brother.
Yes, a brother. Well, you know the rules, Jane. You can keep answering questions for days on end as long as you don't miss. And you can stop when you like. But remember, the sky's the limit. Now, the first question. For $64... who sailed around the world in 1519?
Eli Whitney.
What's that?
Did you ask me about the cotton gin?
No. I asked you who sailed around the world in 1519.
Oh, the second question. Madge Ellen.
Magellan, correct. Now, your next question for $128.
Thomas Edison.
Who invented... And now for $256.
At the end of that day's program, Jane had won $4,096 and was still going strong when a commercial cut her short. She was told to come back the following day and carry on from this point. Also the following day, the sponsor of this program called me into his office.
Mr. Race, this is getting ridiculous. Did you hear that woman rattle off the answers on yesterday's program?
No, Mr. Samuels. I didn't hear the program yesterday. I was,
Mr. Ace, is it too much to ask you to listen to a quiz program?
Yes. Well, I mean, in radio, who's got time to listen to the radio?
The fine advertising agency I've got. Those schoolboy questions. Look at these questions for today. Who was it said, I'd rather be right than president? Well, any child knows it was George M. Cohan.
No, but it was Henry Clay. It was Henry Clay. The answer is right there.
Yes.
You see?
But still, I don't care. I want tougher questions.
But the listeners send the questions in. We don't make them up.
Well, use the tougher questions they send in. Here, I've got some right here. Now, here's my idea of a tough question. What is meant by a laparotomy operation?
A laparotomy operation? I don't even know the answer to that one myself.
All right, here we have the answer right here.
What is it?
A laparotomy is an operation on the abdomen.
On the abdomen?
Yes. Use this question today. Now, that will stop her, I'm sure.
Okay.
And, Mr. H, if you can possibly find the time, try to listen to our little program. Give me at least 15% of your time.
I'll try. Well, I knew I'd hate myself for it in the morning, but that afternoon I made up my mind to listen to the program. So I stretched myself out on the office couch, turned on my combination radio phonograph electric razor. Lucky for me, it wasn't a straight razor. I would have picked it up and cut my throat, because this is what I heard.
Life are inflated yet. Well, well, welcome back, Jane Sherwood.
Jane, you're about to try for $8,192.
Now, would you like to try for it? You can stop right now if you'd like to.
Stop now when I'm going like a horse on fire? Oh, no.
That's the turn we like. Yes. Now, here's the question. What is meant by a laparotomy operation?
Henry Clay.
What's that?
What did you ask me?
No, I said, what is meant by a laparotomy operation?
Wait a minute. You're not asking the right question.
Well, now, you wait a minute. We ask whatever questions we like.
But that's not what
Miss Sherwood, do you know the answer?
But that's not
Miss Sherwood, you'll either have to answer the question or you'll lose your money.
Oh, that's not fair. I think that's abdominal.
Abdominal, correct! A laparotomy is an operation on the abdomen. You have
$8,192. What happened?
What happened? He said, Miss Sherwood, you kill me.
All right.
Yeah. Well, now you can take your money or you may try for $16,284. How about it? Do you go on?
Well, yes, if you'll ask me the right
question. Yeah, now here's the question. Who is the man after whom an electrical unit was named?
What?
Correct, James Watt. Yeah. Oh, gracious me. You now have a total of $16,284.
Who has?
Yes. Do you want to go on now for $32,568?
Well, yes, if you'll only ask the right
question. Okay. But we'll give you a minute to catch your breath while Ken Roberts delivers an important message.
Say, college man, have you got a minute for a short quiz that guarantees an A answer? Here's the poser. Just what do you want in a job? Do you want a real chance for advancement? The opportunity to use your education and ability? Do you want security in the future? Good pay right now? Do you want the fun of being with other swell young Americans while being socially useful at the same time? Well, if you're like thousands of other collegians, it's a pretty sure thing you've checked the yes column. And there's your A. And that A stands for just the job where you get all these things. Aviation Cadet Training. Air Force. Yes, sir, if you've had 2 years of college and can meet the age and physical requirements, then chances are you'll make the grade as an aviation cadet. To see if you hit the mark, just go to any United States Air Force base or recruiting office to apply for the July Aviation Cadet Pilot Training Class. If you're accepted, then you'll have a job that's hard to beat after just 1 year of training. And you'll be an important part of the great air team that's keeping America strong and at peace.
By the time Ken had finished his commercial, I had regained consciousness and crawled over and turned the radio off. I tried to get to the water cooler, but I couldn't quite make it. For an hour or more, I lay there beside distilled waters. My fingers numb, my feet cold, my heart palpitating. I had all the symptoms of a man who had just heard his wife win $32,568 of his sponsor's money on a quiz program. I finally managed to crawl to the phone to call the house.
Hello?
Hello, is this 32,568?
Dear, is that you?
Just fine.
Dear, we're rich. We're sitting on 20th Street. Money's coming in like wildcats. From now on, it'll be mink coats, Paris gowns, caviar and shampoo. And diamonds, Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. And, dear, you know those shoes you wanted to get half sold? Go ahead. The sky's the limit.
Look, Limit, you can't do this thing. That quiz program you were on.
You heard me on the program, dear?
Yes.
You heard me. I was telling Paul you heard me.
Oh.
Paul's here with me. Where are you, dear?
I'm under the desk at my office, hiding out from the sponsor of that quiz program. James, you're not allowed on that program. Nobody related to anybody in this agency is. If he finds out, we'll lose the account. I'll lose my job. I don't know how you're answering those questions, but you've got to miss out on them. Lose that money.
Lose that money? Just as I'm making this wonderful head work?
Yes.
Tomorrow I get the $64,000 question.
Jane, when I heard you on that program, I hit the ceiling.
Dear, you're not taking the right altitude.
Enough.
After I work my head to the bone, winning all that money.
You mustn't win that money.
Why mustn't I? If I don't win, somebody else will. I'm as good as anybody else. We're all cremated equal.
Doesn't that burn you up? Jane, will you stop quibbling?
I didn't quit. You said
I said you've got to miss out. It seems my job if you don't. And I'm going to see to it that you do miss out. I just got an idea. You'll never answer another question on that program. You watch and see.
Rave on, Max Brooks.
Oh, what's the use? Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear. Well, how do you like that?
What's the matter, Sarah?
He wants me to lose all that money because I'm related to him by marriage.
Well, you're not using your married name. You're going under the name of Sherwood. They'll never find out.
Well, he's gonna see to it that I lose.
How can you lose, sis, if you answer the questions? And I know what they're going to do tomorrow. They'll put in the hardest questions the listeners send in. Well, I took care of that. I sent in the toughest questions anybody would ever think of. Come on now, sis. You've got to start memorizing these answers.
Okay, Paul. What's the first question?
Name the Secretary of the Treasury under Rutherford B. Hayes.
His secretary?
Hmm. Sherman was his Secretary of Treasury. Now, memorize that, sis.
Okay. Miss Sherman. Miss Sherman.
Not Miss. He was a man.
A man, Secretary?
Yes. John Sherman. Now, you memorize that, Jane. You got all night. Stay up and memorize.
Oh, I haven't slept a wink. Last night, I was sound awake all night.
Now, here's another one. I sent in about 10 questions under different names. This one, oh, yes. What is the basic formula for nuclear fission?
Well, I've never been fishing, but I guess it's
worse. No, dear. The basic formula for nuclear fission is E equals MC squared.
Oh, that's cute.
Well, I had a little formula all worked out that would stop Jane from staying on our quiz program the rest of 1948 and turning it into the new gold rush of 49. I made an appointment to meet the sponsor in the control room at the studio the next afternoon just before the program went on the air.
Mr. Ace, we're ruined. This woman must be stopped. $32,000. Do you know how many vats of fingernail polish I have to sell to make that kind of money?
Don't worry, Mr. Samuels. I've got the answer right question here. I know she'll never be able to answer. Listen to this. Name the principal exports of Mesopotamia in 1927.
No. She's the kind that would know all about Mesopotamia. But ask her something about our own country. Here's one that came in today. Name the Secretary of the Treasury under Rutherford B. Hayes.
Oh, no, that's too easy.
Well, who was he?
Edward Arnold? No, it wasn't him.
See, you don't know, and neither will she. And she won't know this one either. What is the basic formula for nuclear fission?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Ask her that one. She'll never answer that one.
If she does, Mr. Ace, your advertising agency will be doing business with Jane Sherwood, new owner of the Pendle Parlor Pink Nail Polish Corporation.
Well, you've got to give me credit. I may not be smart, but I am stupid. Instead of fighting for Mesopotamia, I was appeased with those questions Paul sent in. And while waiting for the program to go on the air, I bit off all the Samuel's Parlor pink polish from my fingernails. I always use my client's product. It wasn't that I was nervous exactly. No, I sat calmly, huddled away out of sight in the control room, puffing on a pencil, making notes with my cigar. Then the program got underway.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ken Roberts introducing your favorite quiz program, The Sky's the Limit, brought to you by Samuels, makers of Parlor Pink Nail Polish. Ladies, remember the name Samuels for nail polish. Be sure to take advantage of the Samuels Company's money savings plan. This year, the Samuels Company plans to save more money than ever before. When ordering Samuels Parlor Pink Nail Polish by mail, be sure to enclose 10 cents to cover postage. If you live in Canada, say hello to Mackenzie King. And now I know you're all anxious to meet our $64,000 contestant today, and so here to introduce her is Robert Quiz Lewis.
Oh, my goodness. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. How are y'all? Well, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio this afternoon. I was walking across La Brea Tar Pits, ran into Madman Munch on his way over to Hollywood and Vine to see Bing Crosby and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it was raining. And smog. Smudge pot. You want any? Brooklyn?
I knew I'd get you eventually.
So now we're going to go right on to our first contestant. And here she is, our two-day winner, the girl who today will try for the $64,000 question, Miss Jane Sherwood.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Miss Sherwood. Hey, you mind if I call you Jane?
Oh, no, if you want to.
Thank you, Miss Sherwood.
Thank you, Jane.
Yeah, Miss Sherwood, you're about to try for the $64,000 question.
Hey. Tell me, Sherwood, what are you going to do with all that money if you win it?
Count it.
You will ask a foolish question, you get a foolish answer. Are you nervous, Miss Sherwood? You can smoke a cigarette if you like.
Oh, I don't smoke. I don't drink either. I'm a totalitarian.
Yes. Now, Miss Sherwood, you have $32,568, you know. You can stop right there if you like. Or do you want to go on?
Oh, I can stay after I stayed up on...
That's the Samuel spirit. Yeah, isn't that the Samuel spirit, audience? Isn't it? It is the Samuel spirit. All right, then, here we go. Here's your first question. Careful now. Who was the Secretary of the Treasury under Rutherford B. Hayes?
John Sherman.
Correct! Exactly, sir. Well, you now have exactly $65,136. Do you wish to continue? I say, do you wish to continue?
Why don't you ask me the next question? Oh, yes, sure.
Yes, all right, then quiet, please. Quiet, everybody. No coaching from the audience, please. Not a word. Miss Sherwood, what is the basic formula for nuclear fission?
E equals MC squared.
Hooray! Oh, my goodness. Miss Sherwood, the stratosphere. The stratosphere is the limit. You now have exactly $130,272. Would you like to try for this network?
Excuse me for stopping the action here, but I simply must tell you what's been going on in the control room. When Jane answered the secretary's question, old man Samuels, that's the young man you met a few minutes ago, aged considerably after that answer. Old man Samuels looked at me as if to say something, made a short, gurgling sound, and hasn't been heard from since. As for me, I am proud to say I was galvanized into action. I took a long, sharp chance. I quickly scribbled the questions on a piece of paper and sent it out to Robert Quiz Lewis. The message from Garcia arrived just as Jane won the $130,000 question.
So you're determined to go on for $260,554, Miss Sherwood.
Yes, sir.
All right, and here it is.
What? Hey, excuse me, Miss Sherwood. Well, I don't quite understand this, but orders are orders.
Miss Sherwood, here is a special question. You must answer it without hesitation and with no corrections, it says here. Are you ready?
What's the question?
All right. For $260,554, answer quickly. What is your name?
Jane A.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Your name is Jane Sherwood. Oh.
Remember the little story I told you back there about the family in Decatur, Illinois? Well, a quiz show just about wrecked my family, too. Jane was furious. She made a vow never to speak to me again. But I couldn't get her to put it in writing. Never again was up Tuesday morning when I was rushing to get down to my office, and I said, Jane, do you know where my cufflinks are?
That'll be $2.
What?
That's the $2 question.
What $2 question?
I'm going to get back every cent of that $260,000 if it takes all week.
Oh, no.
You want to know where your cufflinks are? I hit them. That'll be $2.
Well, look, Jane, I'm in a hurry. Here's $2.
Thank you. They're in the refrigerator.
Oh, my.
Now, do you want to try for your glasses?
Oh, no, you didn't.
That'll be $4.
Oh, fine. I can see myself paying $4.
Not without your glasses, you can.
Okay, I haven't time to argue. Here's $4. Where did you put my glasses?
In the flower bin.
Flower bin? Great. $6 for my cufflinks and glasses.
That's nothing. Wait for the jackpot question.
What's that?
The keys to the car.
Oh, Jane, what are you doing?
Well, what did you do to me? Not much you didn't. Beat me out of all that money. Well, my car feathers, friend. Two can be as cheap as one. And I'm supposed to be the one you love. Do you?
Do I what?
Do you love me?
That's a $2 question.
Okay, I'll pay it. It's worth it to find out. Here. One, two.
Thanks. And yes, I love you.
Will you kiss me to prove it?
That'll be $4.
Okay, here. One, two, three, four.
Thanks. And here's your kiss. There.
Dear?
Yes?
You want to try for eight?
In just a moment, I'll give you the title of Chapter 11 in the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. Next Monday, April 19th, is National Preparedness Day. America can be the strongest force for peace in the world only if it is effectively prepared to enforce the peace. Remember, only a strong America can be a peaceful America. Mr. Ace and Jane will bring you Chapter 11, titled, The Doctor Tells Mr. Ace He Should Relax More, so Jane invites some people over for a quiet evening of bridge, which turns out to be exactly what the doctor did not order. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
some people play auction bridge, some play contract bridge. My wife plays toll bridge. Good night.
Me too.
The script for Mr. Ace and Jane was written by Goodman Ace. Original music conducted by Morris Churton. In the supporting cast, Robert Hugh Lewis as the quizmaster, Benny Rubin as Mr. Samuels, Leon Janney as Brother Paul, Michael Abbott as himself, and this is Ken Roberts announcing that you may hear Mr. Ace and Jane at the same time next week over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.